Our scripture today is from Galatians 3, 28 and 29. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Sometimes I don't know if I'm more frustrated with the Bible or the way some Christians read the Bible. Case in point, who can and can't speak in the church? Especially pertaining to women, you wouldn't think this would be an issue in our world, but it is. There are two passages in Scripture that are incredibly damaging to women, intended really to silence them, and contradictory to Jesus, and to what many scholars call what we call the first Paul, the original Paul, who both believed that in Christ God was making all things new, as Galatians 3 we just read. God was unleashing the bounds of this world's hierarchies and unleashing every human being, no matter who their parents were, what their pasts were, whether they were a man or a woman, a Greek or a Jew. God was calling them into a new relationship where there was no hierarchy. Now that's Paul. That's radical Paul in those days particularly. These passages about women that speak the other way are in 1 Corinthians 14, 35 and 36, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read them now. I don't really want to, but I'm going to. But I want to say this with all my heart. My apologies. And with an asterisk, I do not believe these passages are holy. I do not believe these passages are holy. That's radical in itself, but I'm saying it. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the laws say. If they want to inquire about something, this is the part I just love, they should ask their husbands at home. For it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. We did not read this, for instance, when the first woman bishop in the Pacific Northwest came and preached for the first time. Now, that's from 1 Paul. He wrote that letter, but listen to me carefully. Scholars now believe that these two verses were added later to the text by a scribe. Remember, they didn't have printing presses. They didn't have computers in order to copy a text and make a duplicate. A scribe had to write these words down by hand. And so a scribe who didn't want women to be able to speak in church added these two verses. Probably directed to do so by some leader who saw women differently than I do, and differently than Paul did, and differently than Jesus did. The other passage is in what we call the pastoral letters, another letter attributed to Paul, 2 Timothy, but most certainly not written by Paul at all. This is very interesting. Not written by Paul at all, written a lot later, but by an individual who was trying to tame the radical nature of an egalitarian world dreamed up by Paul and Jesus. And here's what he wrote in the pastoral letter to Timothy. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Oh boy. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing. If they continue, it's in there. Sorry. if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Yikes! Let's just throw this thing out, right? I mean, these two scripture passages have done more damage and harm to women than I can count. And add to this the Bible's statement about divorce, and we've got a serious problem. Especially if we read the Bible in what Dr. Sam Tsang, our own Dr. Sam, by the way, who writes beautiful books, he calls, if we read the Bible with a flat reading of the Bible, taking the Bible for what it is, reading the Bible in a way of the bumper sticker, the Bible says it, so I believe it. Dr. Sam Tsang says, no, that's not how you read the Bible. A way that Dr. Tsang brilliantly refutes in his book, Right Kingdom, Wrong Stories. So how does this damage play out? Well, let me just give you an example in my life, anyway. I remember one time a woman in my church in Mitchell, South Dakota, the church I was serving, and she was the wife of a doctor, and that's how she introduced herself. I'm the wife of a doctor. That was how she saw her role. She was in my disciple Bible study and was coming alive with this new understanding of the Bible. She had always read it a flat way and took it seriously. But because she did this, she always thought women just had one role, supporter. Take the second seat, acquiesce to the male in the relationship, be the helper. But then she started reading the Bible in a new way, realizing, for instance, that Paul, the first Paul, the Paul who wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians, Galatians, and Romans, was quite different than what we call Deutero Paul, another author who wrote under Paul's name, who wrote Colossians, Philemon, and Ephesians, and then even more different than the third set of letters attributed to Paul, called the pastoral letters, again, written by another author later, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. She began to realize that the first Paul saw Jesus and Jesus called the ministry as not just a male thing, but also a female thing, as an egalitarian thing. She read Galatians 3:28, definitely the real Paul, with wide eyes. And you know this passage, right? I think we've got it up here. Let's read it together out loud if you can see it. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Suddenly, she saw her life and her calling in a new way, a whole new way. God was not only calling her a woman, but God was also freeing her from the patriarchal bondage of her age. It was so fun to see her get going, right? Suddenly, she was reading scripture in worship. We had other women reading scripture and worship, but she never thought she should. But now she was. Suddenly, she was taking the offering. That was a male thing in our church back then, you know. And here she was, jumping in, taking offering. Suddenly, she wasn't just on the trustees committee. She took the chair job, and she did great. I mean, she was transforming the church. And it was so fun to see her come alive in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Until her husband had an affair and he divorced her. Her husband cheated on her. And all the old language of her old self started to play in her head. She got out her concordance and she looked up the word divorce. And this passage came out from Jesus speaking. Matthew 5, 31 through 32. Now listen, you have to hear this a little bit better. You have to read it. Don't read it so flat. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, doesn't say whoever divorces, it says whoever divorces his wife, let him give her certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Now, she read this and thought Jesus was saying she was unclean because she was in a divorce. That's the way she read it. Jesus wasn't speaking to her. He was speaking to the men of that time who were taking advantage of women who didn't want to be married to their wives anymore and wanted to go out and have a fling, so they wanted to get a divorce. And Jesus was saying, hey, man, you got to be responsible. You know, you can't do this. But she saw it as speaking to her. And so she quit reading scripture. She quit her job on trustees. She didn't feel clean enough to come to Holy Communion. Man, it was hard to see that happen. I tried for years in my ministry to help her, to empower her, to have her look again at the Bible in a different way. But she was silenced. So sad, right? So frustrating. And absolutely counter to my understanding, I hope yours too, of the faith of the Christian witness, of the people who have been called to follow God's more excellent way. The Bible, in fact, is a document of the powerless. It's a testament to what can happen when powerless people are empowered by the radical love we've come to know in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? God in Christ Jesus was breaking the chains of this world's power structures and unleashing every human being, no matter who they were, who their parents were, what their past was, no matter if they were Jew or Greek, male or female, and I'm going to add gay or straight, because I'm pretty sure if those words were there, Jesus would have used them in his time. Years later, my good friend, Sheila Richards, became a district superintendent, one of the first women district superintendents in South Dakota. It wasn't easy to get there, but she did it. It was great to see her do this. And she had gone to a seminary, a pretty conservative Baptist seminary in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But we allowed United Methodists to go there because that was the closest seminary. But they didn't believe in women preaching. So she was invited back, believe it or not, to preach to this seminary, and they wouldn't let her in the pulpit. She had to stand over in the lectern, remember that, the old lectern on the left, so for everybody who wasn't a preacher. Wow. Again, trying to silence, right? Trying to push down. So why am I saying all this? This is Pride Week, Brooke. We're supposed to be talking about LGBTQ questions. Well, I am really. Because the same issues, the same flat reading of the scriptures, the same issues that have played out in the lives of women have been played out in the terms of LGBTQ folks. The same flat reading of scripture when dealing with women's issues has been used to silence LGBTQ plus folk. There are seven what we call clobber passages. I'm not going to get into them. But they've been used, seriously, to clobber over and over again people who are different than we are. Not so different for some of us. And I've got to say this. I'm so proud to say that the United Methodist Church has finally stood up and said, no, we're not going to let a flat reading of Scripture, a misreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to silence an oppressed group of people. We're going to be obedient. And I'm saying this right. We are being obedient to the very heart and nature of Jesus Christ. And of Paul. That all people are called into ministry, no matter who or whose they are. They're all one in Christ. They all belong. The Bible should never be used to silence a group of people who have been marginalized. The Bible at its heart was written by marginalized people and ought to be used to lift, empower, and unleash them. The church should never silence a group of people. And I'm proud. In fact, I'm bursting at the buttons that we now have an African-American gay bishop here in the Pacific Northwest. It's so wonderful. We're living out the true nature and call of the gospel. And so I turn now, and I want to personally apologize to anyone who has felt silenced and put down by the church. We were wrong. And now we're putting it right. Years ago, I was in a pride march in South Dakota. I thought I was going to get killed. It was about 25 years ago. There weren't very many of us. But I remember at the end of it, I was asked to speak to all the marchers, and that was a group of LGBTQ plus folk. And I apologized to them. I said, the church has said the wrong things to you. And I think Jesus Christ affirms who you are and whose you are. There's so many tears as I shared that. And when I got done, there was a UCC pastor who came up to me and said, how could you say that? UCCs are a little more liberal than we were back then. But how can you as a United Methodist pastor say that? I said, come on, look at your language. And I said, I'm not a preacher of the United Methodist Church first. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's that authority in which I speak. And I believe that. And I'm so proud of all of you for working so hard to being affirming and open to others. And for marching and putting on all this stuff that we've got here. It makes me so proud. Thank you. And all the people said,